Well, I am not the founder and CEO of Good Karma Brands. I'm just Jesse Nelson. And I'm live from the Domination Golf Outing at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton this morning. It is Sunday Karma in for Craig and Kyle here on ESPN Wisconsin. Not only am I Jesse Nelson, not only is producer Riley Auk in the Everlight Solar Studios at ESPN Madison, but I am joined here at Pleasant View Golf Course by the voice of Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball, John Audius, out for a little Sunday Karma this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning. What a beautiful morning here at Pleasant View Golf Course.
Yeah, this is incredible. We thought that the golf today might be in a little jeopardy with some of the storms that rolled through the area last night, but no, this course is beautiful. Of course, it drains great, so these golfers are all getting out and supporting a great cause. Bruce Dahman, of course, legend in the Madison area, Madison Memorial High School, and all the impact that he's had on local athletics. This golf outing and this cause is so fantastic each and every year that we get all sorts of community members, and like there's people of notoriety from news and from sports and from all over that come and support this great cause here this morning.
I've never been to a Sunday outing, but I love the concept, and especially today with its temperatures right now in the 70s. It's going to get a little hot out there. It'll get steamy and bakey, but it's still a great thing to be out here on a Sunday golfing and a golf outing. Fantastic.
Yeah, we thank Kendall Dahman from Zimbrick and all of the great people that are part of this event, helping to put it on every year, honoring the legacy of Bruce Dahman here in the greater Madison area. And it's our pleasure to be here for Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin on this beautiful Sunday morning, supporting the great cause as well. Now, John, this is our first broadcast we've done together at a golf course. We've done the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison a few times. But you mentioned as we got set to come out here this morning, you had a golf etiquette question. Are you getting out there with everyone when we're done at noon, or like what's the deal here?
I might just hit the driving range, but I'd love to get on the course if possible. I brought my clubs. They're all here.
We'll see if anyone has to bow out in about 2 hours as they get started. Right now, I see all the carts heading out onto the course. So what's this question about golf etiquette you have?
Well, two things, because yes, I will be a replacement. Now, the last time I was here at Pleasant View, I was actually in a golf outing. It wasn't on a Sunday, and my group won the special VIP person to play with.
Okay.
Which is Mr. Matt Hamilton.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so I got to play around.
Of Rutledge and Hamilton fame, the Olympic gold medalist.
That's the guy, and I had no idea how far this man can hit a golf ball. Like, he is, like, smashed. Like, well, we just got lucky that we got you on our team. But the last time I was here, point is, I played with Mr. Hamilton.
He's a big bopper. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
He's a longest drive star, no doubt.
Now, I'm sure that day as well, I probably let some explicit language out every once in a while. In fact, on the golf course, I've been trying to be more present, and I've noticed that sometimes these words come out of my mouth when a bad shot is hit. So my question to you and to anyone else listening right now, what's the proper etiquette with either how many swear words you can get by with in a round? What's too much? What's the perfect amount? Because a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to be honest with you, I caught myself a couple of times. I said, you know what? I probably dropped too many F-bombs today. Listen to this, Jesse. And so I took that into my next round, which was last week. And I'm going to tell you about one hole. I was great the whole round. I didn't swear once. I was just like, hey, a bad shot happens. What are you going to do? You're going to go get the next thing and hit them. Second to last hole, short par three. I stuck a shot. I mean, it was straight at the hole. It was within 6 to 8 feet. I felt good. I'm like, here we go. Uphill putt for birdie. It's going to be my first birdie of the day. I hadn't swore. I was playing with these golfers, two of which had never played golf before, by the way.
Oh, wow.
This was a small course in Madison. It was quite the nine hole. Yeah, exactly. It was quite the round. So there was a lot of, they were learning.
How was pace?
The pace, well, we'll talk about the pace on round number two with them maybe. But anyway, the point is this. So I hit this shot. I'm feeling good. Birdie putt, not even close. Second putt, not even close. I three putted from like 6 to 8
that's
feet.
That's the worst.
And I let out. Like, all the words that had been waiting the entire day all came out in
blank
order.
And
at the end, I was like, yes, except a couple more times. And I thought, okay, well, if I was worried about how I, swore on the golf course before, this one must be worse because they were all together just in one time instead of spread out through 18 holes. So what's the etiquette there?
Well, 844-770-3776 is the number to get into the show this morning. That's 844-770-3776. A different number than usual for Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin because it's a different setup than usual. It's Jesse Nelson and John Audius of Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball here with Sunday Karma. Craig and Kyle have the week off. They'll be back next week. Riley Yauch, our producer, standing by to take your phone calls in the Everlight Solar Studio. 844-770-3776. You can text the show there as well. Notoriously, I would say, from my time producing Wilde and Tausch, weekdays 9 to noon, very well-produced show, I've gone on record saying that I think when it comes to comedy, that when you don't swear, it's actually more funny, and that swearing is lowbrow humor. So I don't know if that directly pertains here to the same situation, but just so you know my backstory with the fans and with everyone here when it comes to swearing, I say Melissa McCarthy is very funny when she doesn't swear. When she's swearing and it's all vulgar, it's not nearly as funny.
Sometimes comedians use that as a crutch to get a giggle.
Exactly, yes. Yep. That's been my – and so this came up with the Brady roast when everyone told me I don't know what comedy is a few months ago. That's a whole thing. So as far as being in the – so – I'm glad you brought up the dynamic of the group. When you have two golfers who are new to the game and they're learning and they're, you know, this could be their introduction. This is their first experience being part of an outing or experiencing the sport in general. And they may be like, okay, there's some glimpses here of some success and they want to stick with it and get better and improve. I think if you're the leader of the group, which if you're putting, you know, something on 17 within a few feet of a birdie putt, sounds like you probably are.
That's a great shot.
Tier one in the group here.
Yes.
I think it's a bad impression for those people that, oh no, like you're already a little self-conscious going into it. Like, think of your first time golfing when you were a kid or when you were an adult. It's like, oh man, I just want to hold my own. I just want to make sure that I don't ruin this for everyone else. I don't want to be too bad. I don't want to be embarrassing. And I'm sure those people are thinking the same thing as they're golfing throughout this round with you. And you get to the 17th hole and you're almost done and everything's been going well all day and the group's doing pretty well. And then this guy who's our best golfer just starts swearing up a storm because he's been
three-putted.
It's like Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago when he's got these young receivers around him and he's carrying the team all season, and then you get to the end of the year and they're still running the wrong routes and he's just yelling at everybody on the bench. Like, that's the kind of vibe that I feel like you may have given off on the 17th hole, swearing up a storm.
I might have. I just didn't know, like, what's the best route to do this, because it seems like I saved all the swears for one big outburst. I was like, maybe I should just spread them out the whole day, or maybe I should just eliminate them and not go for the low brow. But as I was saying them, they were giggling. So
okay.
There's part of me that said, okay, they enjoy what's happening here. I'm still angry. I'll give them a couple extras.
Are you sure it wasn't a nervous giggle? Because I'm definitely a nervous laugher when it comes to, like, oh, we got an awkward situation here.
It could have been.
This guy is like, he's very upset. I'm like, oh, that'll happen, man.
I did not think about that. It could have been nervous giggles.
And they're actually thinking, like, get
me out
of here.
That. Yeah.
Like, oh, God, this guy's been all mad at us all day, and now here it is coming out on the 17th.
He's been waiting on us.
John, yeah. I have a question for you. How loud are you swearing here? Are you, like, yelling?
Yeah. Are they hearing you on
Are you muttering under your breath?
That's a great question, Riley.
It is for everybody on the green. That's about it. So just
okay.
So the group coming up behind you doesn't hear that.
No. They're like, what is going on over there? Like, but they may not. I don't think they hear it at all.
So I'm glad Riley asked that question, because on the contrary, we were out up north and we had, you know, two foursomes went out. It was just some buddies and like my brothers-in-law that were in town for the holiday weekend last week. So we're at a course up north, a decent course. It's, you know, it's not like you're, you know, very, like, bottom tier up north course. It was a decent course up north. And we had two foursomes that are out, and we were kind of competing against one another. And I want to say it was the sixth or seventh hole. We had a pretty nice putt that went in. And our group let out a big, yeah, and we kind of wanted the group in front of us to hear. And I think we may have disrupted, you know, some of the holes were close to each other, and we may have disrupted everyone else. So on the contrary to the negativity of the, you know, I missed an easy birdie putt, we three-putted, now we got a bogey on the 17th. Mm-hmm. What if you have a great shot? Like, is there any golf etiquette on celebrating a great success too loudly or too...
I don't think so. Not on the golf course. I think you have to celebrate every success on the golf course if you're a certain level, skill level player.
I'm glad you share that standpoint.
Right. Like, we're not all, you know, PGA Tour players out there where we expect that. So when you get a good shot on the golf course, for the majority of golfers, I think you're allowed to hoot and holler. And if I happen to be 180 yards away on the next hole and I hear you hooting and hollering and it's in my backswing, I'm going to be okay with that because I know one of my fellow golfers just did something that probably doesn't happen very often.
I think we do need to look to see if we can get you into a foursome here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hot out there. If someone's like, you know what, I saw Jocko from NBC 15. He was sweating up a storm already. Yeah. He was on the Great Dane Huddle earlier this week. Find the podcast on Wisconsin On Demand. If he wants to bow out at noon, like I think he's got some stuff. He might need to get out of here. Like you can step in and take over for the back nine.
Yeah, no warm-up. I'll go out there with my clubs and my new grips that I just got on yesterday, and we'll go see what happens. I'd be willing to do that. I'll fill in for anyone who's on the course listening to this show right now.
And especially because it's for such a great cause. The Domination golf outing here, honoring the legacy of Bruce Domin, a great member of the Madison community. Our friend Kendall Domin of Zimbrick Auto Dealerships helping put all of this event together today. A great cause. Again, you can learn more. Just search Domin Nation and the Bruce Domin online to learn all about his legacy and the impact he's had on Madison area athletics. There have been athletes that have come to this event, including Wesley Matthews over the years. Of course, the media members and the prominent members of the Madison community who are all part of this event each and every year, making it so special. They do such a fantastic job running it here at Pleasant View Golf Course.
So cool. And you know what I love that I've seen a lot of here today? The matching polos from groups. I've never done that with the foursome. I've never called the foursome up the day before and said, hey, what are we wearing? But I love that. It brings a little bit, I don't know, I'm looking for the
camaraderie, perhaps?
Like the
assimilation of the group.
A group in here with the floral pattern. I saw another group before that. Three guys had the same shirt. I like that move.
I like it too.
I like the matching polo move.
We're going to talk plenty more. Again, some of the usual Sunday Karma staples are still coming up here this morning. We'll have the 7 at 11 coming up at 11 o'clock. John's first chance in the 7 at 11 hot seat. Good luck to you, John Audius.
I'm excited.
Jason Wilde scheduled to appear coming up about 15 minutes from right now at the bottom of the hour, talking all things Green Bay Packers. And speaking of the Packers, so I mentioned, you know, I had some friends that were up golfing last week. I did have a friend stay in town last night from Chicago. He's a Bears fan, and he provided some content for this show this morning. I can tell you that much. We're going to get into what I talked about with my Bears fan friend and how it relates to the 2024 Green Bay Packers and my money. And that's coming up next. It's Sunday Karma live from the Domination Golf Outing at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton. Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin, live from the Domination Golf Outing at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton over on the west side of Madison. In for Craig and Kyle this morning, Jesse Nelson, and the voice of Wisconsin Badgers Volleyball, John Audius, here at Pleasant View Golf Course. Riley Yauch, our producer, back in the Everlight Solar Studio, helping keep us on the air, sounding great this morning. Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Tausch, covers the Packers for the Wisconsin State Journal, scheduled to appear about 15 minutes from right now to share all of his insights on all things green and gold with 8 days to go until the start of Packers training camp up in Titletown. Can't believe it's here already. This summer has flown by, John.
I'm telling you, every single year, I feel like a record on repeat. It's the same thing. I can't believe when training camp gets here, it's like summer just started. And then once training camp starts, summer's done. You know what I mean? That's how fast it feels.
This has flown by. And even a year that has been pretty drama-free throughout this offseason, obviously.
Yeah.
Maybe expecting some hopeful news, I think, if you're a Packers fan, on Jordan Love's contract situation potentially this week before the start of training camp next Monday, the 22nd. Speaking of the Green Bay Packers, so our house in Sun Prairie, John, has been kind of an Airbnb for some of my friends coming to town this weekend. We had a wedding we went to on Friday that a bunch of my high school friends came up for. They stayed over with us on Friday. And then yesterday I had a different set of friends, one of my best friends from college, and then his fiance stayed overnight. Well, they came up from Illinois. They're big Chicago Bears fans. They even brought their dog named Peyton after Walter Peyton.
Oh, wow.
And she's a little corgi, little nugget. Adorable, except for
pictures.
The fact that she's named after a bear. Yes, I do.
Okay, well,
we're not on video today, unfortunately, here at Pleasant View Golf Course, so I'll have to just show them to you here in person. Yeah, sorry, everybody. Usually, you can watch the show streaming live, free video on YouTube on ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison's YouTube channels. So my Bears fan friend and I were sitting talking last night, and he pulls up the ESPN Bet app. And, in Illinois, you can do that kind of thing. And he shows me what the over-under projected win totals are for the NFC North teams for the coming year. And he said, Okay, tell me if I'm crazy. Now, he knows I'm a big Packers fan. We riff back and forth about, you know, the lack of success the Bears have had for many years versus what the Packers have. He also thought Justin Fields would get traded for a first-round pick back in March. So,
okay,
you know, we got
okay. Well,
just to show you his level of delusion here going into this conversation.
Well, that was a very important piece of information.
Yes. So the Bears' projected over-under win total for the 2024 season is 8.5 games, according to ESPN Bet. The Green Bay Packers' projected over-under win total is 9.5. So just one game higher, the Packers' projected win total versus the Bears. And Jordan is my friend's name. He starts rattling off all the reasons that he says, tell me if I'm crazy, but I think the Bears' bet for an over is actually a smarter bet. And he starts telling me, like, look at teams. First of all, look at the improvement that the Bears have had from last year versus this year. Obviously, at the quarterback situation, going to Caleb Williams, if that works out as a rookie starter out of the gates right away. But also the improvements at wide receiver, some of the improvements they made on defense. Like, they have definitely upgraded as a team. I think objectively we can all say that, yes, the Bears look like they are on paper going to be better than they were last year, and the win projection would share that. Mm-hmm. You also factor in the strength of schedule that the Bears are playing. The AFC South, not the greatest division in football, and that's who the NFC North is paired up with this year. But also the Bears are playing a last-place schedule from where they finished in the division standings last year. So their games in the NFC are against the Carolina Panthers and teams that finished at the very bottom of their respective divisions, as opposed to the Packers, who are playing a second-place schedule, and many of those teams saw improvements throughout this offseason heading into the coming year. So, like, the Philadelphia Eagles is a good example of that, where they were a second-place team last year. The Packers opened the season against the Eagles in Brazil. That's one of those second-place matchups that's taking place. So he's rattling off this information for me, and I start thinking about it. And the Packers, you know, Jason has said this on Wilde and Tausch, as has Tausch. The Packers may be a better team because of the experience that they bring into this coming season. They may be a better team this year than they were last year, but because they played a worse schedule last year, they played a third-place schedule, and some of the opponents that they had crossing over into the AFC, the Packers may actually win fewer games this year than they did last year, but be a better team. I've heard that argument, and as I hear that and I compare it to what the Bears are looking at this year, I was starting to be convinced by my delusional Bears fan friend that the Bears' bet of over 8.5 wins for the year is a better bet than the Packers' over 9.5 wins. This is where I go to you, John Audius. Tell me I'm crazy. Please talk me down.
Well, okay. So one of the biggest changes for the Bears is Caleb Williams, right?
Of course.
And to me, there is just, I don't care where you were drafted. If you're a rookie starting quarterback, I have questions. It's going to be hard for me to immediately say, yeah, you're going to be okay to solid to great. You know what I mean? You're going to be in that range where you're going to help produce wins for your team. I can't say that with a first year starter, especially a rookie. Now, this is where it might come back to bite me in the butt, because I would have said that about Jordan Love last year. I'm like, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, why would I say someone who's never started in the NFL is going to have a great year? He obviously did have a great year. So it's very capable of Caleb Williams to do that. I was just looking at the Bears, 7 wins last year, right? 8.5 is the projected total. We talked about all the changes on either side of the football. But when I look at their games last year and some of the games that they lost, you know, I kind of look there and say, are you getting blown out? Are you losing close games? There's a 31-28 loss for the Bears. There was a 6-point loss to Minnesota. There was a 17-9 loss at Green Bay to end the season.
Back half of the year, they played very well. There was and I think that's underrated.
Yeah, 3-point loss to the Browns. There was a 5-point loss to the Lions. So my point is, there's a lot of games there where you flip one or two plays around, and you might be talking about that. So is your Bear friend crazy? Are you crazy? Is the Bears 8.5 taking the over a better pick than taking the over 9.5 Packers? I might say yes. I think the more I kind of look at this, where you were last year, what's expectation-wise this season, what you talked about with the schedules that you have based on where you finished before, did you make a bet? Because I might. Do you have? Can he put 50 on that for me too?
I could message him across the border if we want to have him take care of business for you there on the ESPN Bet app. I do. as we were looking at this also, I'm looking at some of the other teams in the NFC. So, obviously, I mentioned the Chicago Bears, 8.5 for their win total. The Atlanta Falcons, 9.5 seems ridiculous. Like, I would say, like, let's take the under there. They don't even, like, Kirk Cousins is there. But you look at the talent on that offense, and same thing. They're playing a worse schedule because of where they finished in their division last year.
I think
the Packers were the beneficiary of that last year. So, if we're going to say last year that we expected a turnaround for the Packers because of who they were playing, and that was definitely something that helped them early in the season get a win or two that they may not have had otherwise, you have to apply that same logic to the Bears. I also said a couple of weeks ago on Wilde and Tausch that there's always one team that seems to go from the bottom to the top in the NFL every year, and it's a team that makes significant changes during the offseason, is playing a bad schedule, and can capitalize favorably on that. I think this year both the Bears and the Pittsburgh Steelers fit that formula, where they have head coaches who have been in place for a while. They've made changes at the quarterback position. There's generally talent around those players where they've made some of the big upgrades, and they're playing schedules against teams like the Bears play the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders and the Carolina Panthers this year. That should be three games that they easily win because they're not your typical number one overall pick kind of team coming into this season.
I will say Caleb Williams has definitely gotten the right pieces or a great start to his career with the pieces around him to be able to throw the football to, so that's got to benefit him as well. But just look at the NFC North. Now, you're saying over 8.5. I think 9.5, Green Bay will be right in there. Probably, I would probably take the over, but if I'm taking the over on the Packers, I'm taking the over on the Bears. Mm-hmm. What are we doing with the Lions?
That's the next one I was going to bring up. So the Lions are at 10.5. And if you're a believer in the Lions, where if you're saying, well, the Packers are young and they have all this youth and talent and experience, the same logic has to be applied to the Lions, who are just as young and probably more talented based on success from last year reaching the NFC Championship game.
But look at these. These three teams are all huddled in this range of 2 to 3 wins with each other. Like, this NFC North is going to be, I mean, and all these teams beating up in each other is going to affect these over-unders we're talking about right now. So it's going to be a really competitive NFC North this year. And I think your friend talked me into the over for the Bears. Like I said, I got the ding about the over for the Packers. Yeah. I'd probably have to go under at this point for the Lions then, if that's what we're doing.
So the Lions are at 10.5, the Packers at 9.5, the Bears at 8.5, and then the Minnesota Vikings at 6.5. And I think if you're going to say who's the odd one out here, I'd take the under on the Minnesota Vikings at 6.5. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be. They're going to probably rush J.J. McCarthy into a starting role, whether he's ready or not. Like, even though there's some talent on offense there, they might steal a game or two, but they seem like if you're going to take one NFC North team that's not going to live up to its expectations, Minnesota feels like that team. I'm almost worried that the Packers are second on the list, though.
Really?
I mean, and I hate saying that. I don't want to say that.
It feels like. What do you mean, second on the list of most
of team? If you're ranking the NFC North teams, I'm going to try and qualify this exactly the way I want to.
Okay.
Ranking the NFC North teams based on their projected win totals by teams that will that have the best potential to not hit the over.
Okay.
So I think the Vikings.
Yeah,
I would put them at the top. Like that could be a disaster this year. They could win 3 or 4 games if it goes the way that we think it might. The Bears, I think, over 8.5, I feel really good about. The Lions, 10.5, like, yeah, they're playing a first-place schedule. They could take a step back, but I feel like they're going to be right there based on what we saw from them last year. The Packers at 9.5, if you look at the formula last year versus what it compares to on the schedule this year, I hate to say it because I'm a Packers fan. I want them to win 13 games and be the number one seed, but
you're not crazy.
Logically speaking, I think you would have to say they have the second best chance in the division to not live up to the hype this year.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the Vikings, but I think you're absolutely right. And what is there to talk about right now, honestly? What you
Justin
just said.
Jefferson, he's
yeah.
good.
Oh, yeah, but he's going to throw him the football
big
accurately.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the biggest thing for them. But, it comes down to QBs, and that's why with the Bears thing, I'd likely take the over. They were 7 wins last year. Can they get to 9? Probably, but I'm still, once again, it's very hard for me to put confidence in young first-year starting quarterbacks.
Jason Wilde doesn't like gambling. He doesn't like projecting and putting his name on strict guesses for the upcoming season.
Let's have him on.
So we're going to talk to him about this coming up next on All Things Green Bay Packers. Great wide receiver conversation took place on Wilde and Tausch, which I took off on Friday, of course. So they had the best stuff for when I was gone, typical. Jason Wilde scheduled to appear coming up next. Jesse Nelson and John Audius, the voice of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball, in for Craig and Kyle this morning from the Domination Golf outing at Pleasant View Golf Course. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say
Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin, live from the Domination Golf outing at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton. In for Craig and Kyle this morning, Jesse Nelson and the voice of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball, John Audius, here at Pleasant View Golf Course. Again, Bruce Dahman, the former principal at Madison Memorial, passed away 10 years ago. His legacy honored here each and every year at the Domination Golf Outing. Scholarships in perpetuity, supporting projects in the Madison community, Little League equipment, basketball programs, such a great cause that so many prominent people in the Madison community are part of here today at Pleasant View Golf Course and the Domination Golf Outing. And it is our pleasure now to be joined by someone who, John, is a big fan of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball. And we're going to talk Green Bay Packers with him, but I'm sure you guys can talk volleyball for a moment here too, with the season coming up just a little over a month away. He is the host of Wilde and Tausch, a very well-produced show weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. It's Jason Wilde. Jason, I'm working on a Sunday. How about you?
Yeah, there's about six things wrong with that introduction, starting with the music. When Riley asked me if I had any requests, I said no, but I wasn't expecting that.
What were you expecting?
It's been a tough 3 days for Riley.
I'm going to
retire. I've heard.
Time to retire.
Yeah, no, you got to try and go out on a high note, and you definitely wouldn't be, Riley, so keep working. Let me be serious for a second. I obviously spent a long time covering high school athletics in the Madison area at the State Journal, Capital Times before that, and I love the fact that you guys are there today. I'm glad that we've made this a station tradition. If you spent any time in the Madison area, you know how much the Dahman family name means, and you certainly know how important Bruce was to so many kids that went through Memorial High School. And I just love the fact that you guys are there. It is a fantastic cause, and it's so diversified, right? Like, he did so many different things for so many different people that you have to have this charitable event to cover like a bunch of different bases, pardon the pun. And so I love the fact that you guys are there. I really am happy to be a part of the show today, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if you're not from the Madison area, or you're not like me who went to school at UW and spent, you know, upwards of 20 years in the Madison area, except for the times I had to drive to Green Bay to cover the Packers, maybe you don't know how important this event is, but I'm here to tell you that it's a really meaningful event. And if you have an opportunity to support it, I highly, highly recommend it, because it does so many great things for so many great causes.
I don't think we could say it any better than that, Jason. All right, now, you were at this volleyball camp with your daughters last week. I don't know if John Audius was in attendance or not, but I know you had great things to say about it and some of the athletes that John gets to talk to on a regular basis. So I'm going to let you guys do your volleyball thing here for a minute, and then we'll talk Packers in a moment.
Yeah, Jason, I saw the picture with Sarah Franklin, and my gosh, isn't she just the greatest?
Yeah, she's, you know, here's the thing, and I was a little disappointed. I was hoping that there was going to be maybe like a discussion of the game led by you, and so I was a little surprised when I didn't see you. I also, the bigger surprise for me, though, frankly, was it's such a big camp. They have so many kids that are part of it that they can't just stay at the field house. Obviously, they put in a second court there to get some work in, but there's not nearly enough court space. So part of the group goes over to the shell, which is obviously getting ready to be torn down, which brought a tear to my eye because I failed to guard my guy many, many times and pick up basketball at the shell.
Nice.
And so I'm going to miss that because I got a lot of good memories. We once played against Danny Jones and Trent Jackson, which if you're really old, you know that those were two great Badger men's basketball players. I had no business being on the court that day, but that was probably true of most of the days. just hovering around the outside shooting threes. Now, the other part of it, though, was that they went to the Nicholas Center, and I asked one of the coaches as they were, as Sid was one of the kids going there, boarding the bus, hey, where are they going? She said, the Nick. And I was like, well, what's the Nick? So I walked, looked it up on my Google Maps, and I walked, and it's where the surf once was, if you're as old as me. Mm-hmm. And it's way, 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 way nicer than the surf, I have to say. So it was a really, really well-done event. I was disappointed. I was texting with Coach Sheffield because I was hoping to see him, and he was recruiting in Las Vegas during it, so I wasn't able to see him. But, yeah, what a – you know, look, I cover NFL players, and I've done that now. I'm going into my 29th season. I love to point that out so everyone knows how old I am. But, you know, those guys do good things too, right? Like, I don't want to short shrift them. I mean, whether you're Jordan Love pushing a girl's car out of a snowbank or all the great things that professional athletes find time to do, they deserve credit for it. But I think they could all take a cue from women's athletics. Now, maybe it's because – you know, women are still striving to get the coverage and the attention that they deserve. It's crazy to see Wisconsin volleyball and the coverage and the attention it gets when, as I tell all the time, I sat down for lunch with John Cook in like 98 or 99 talking to him about, do you ever think he wanted to know, do you ever think Wisconsin volleyball will get to be like Nebraska volleyball? Because obviously he had the chance to go to Nebraska and he took it. And to see what it has become is magnificent, but there's still this kind of undercurrent of, hey, our athletes are always going to do everything they can to engage young fans, old fans, and I just think that everyone could take a lesson from that, because Sid had ever met Sarah Franklin before. She didn't really know the team. She will now, because she'll be listening to all the games with this guy that's going to call them on our airwaves that does such a great job, but it was really neat to see how authentically engaged they were. They weren't just going through the motions. And as I mentioned on social media, to see Sarah Franklin in a walking boot, instead of putting her feet up on the bleachers and just having a line of kids come to her, her standing by the net, and I swear she signed three autographs per kid, like one on their ball, one on their shirt, and then yeah. Some of them wanted it on their shoe. And then she would pose for a picture. And then watching her, and Sydney and I approached her after she got done because I just wanted to compliment her and let her know, you know, how excited we are to have them on our airwaves. But I was like, that's not normal. Like, she stayed and looked around to make sure she hadn't missed anybody.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you most professional athletes aren't doing that. So I appreciate the platform for this. John, I'm going to stop talking now because I've done a lot here.
No. I was just going to add, and don't forget, that's the Big Ten. That's the National Player of the Year that's doing that, that's taking the time to do that, you know.
Best player in the country.
Exactly.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, no big deal. Just the best player in the country.
Exactly. And so, but it's like you said, it's not just her. It's the entire team. And I see this on the road. Obviously, I see this at home. I have an 11-year-old daughter that harasses the players constantly looking for autographs and pictures. But that's what they do. They do that. You know, they line up the kids before matches at the field house. They get the extra high fives after the game. They're signing autographs and taking pictures for a very long time on the road. They're taking pictures and signing off. Like, they are constantly building this goodwill, and to see the National Player of the Year, and we try to, you know, pump her up, you know, extra special, but that's just who she is. And that's just what this sport is, for the most part. So it's very cool to see that.
She was also nominated for the ESPY this week for Best Female College Athlete. Unfortunately, there was someone else in that category that you may have heard of by the name of Caitlin Clark, who ended up coming away with the award. Jason, have you ever been nominated for an award you knew you were not going to win?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, as the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, I've had been nominated many other times and not emerged victorious. I've been a finalist a lot, but you know, that tells you how meaningful that award is. No, I don't think not all of us can win the WBA awards like Jesse has. So some of us don't get nominated. Some of us just fall a little bit short.
Should have known that's
where some of us, if we did win, we certainly wouldn't advertise it as much as Jesse does. So, you know, it's okay. I'm okay with my number of awards that I've won and the ones that I haven't.
My four WBAs for best play-by-play are pretty
whoa!
Cool. Wait, I just dropped. do you guys...
Cool.
The only awards I've ever won in my entire life for anything, okay?
He's got four of them, Jason. I got ways to go here.
I say this with nothing but kindness in my heart for both of you guys because you both do a great job. But if Matt LePay or Jeff Levering isn't winning the award instead of you two knuckleheads, I find myself wondering about the veracity of the award. That's all I'm saying.
The bracket was not. Yeah.
The record will show who won.
I had the right path to the championship in my bracket.
You don't have to be the best team in the field of 64. You just have to be the best in your six games.
Yeah, but at least they're usually in the field.
Wow.
That's true.
Rules are rules.
That's a good point.
Hey now.
Jason Wilde joining us, host of Wilde and Tausch weekdays 9 to noon. Jason, are you good to come back for a second segment? We could actually talk some Green Bay Packers with you.
That seems like a good idea. Yes, I would be happy to do so. I'll be right here.
We will do so coming up next. We're going to ask Jason who the Caitlin Clark of Wisconsin Sports Writers is. We're also going to get his projections on gambling and all kinds of great things. Coming up next. Yep, he's going to love it. It's Jason Wilde on Sunday Karma with Jesse Nelson, John Audius, in for Craig and Kyle at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton, the Domination Golf Outing. It's Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin.
I get nervous when I'm drinking. I start thinking, do I deserve this? Tell me who am I to teach when I'm still learning? Feels like I ain't even scratched the surface. I'm on my promise.
Sunday Karma continues on ESPN Wisconsin. Jesse Nelson, John Audius, your cousin subs of the day. Cousin subs. We believe in better. We're in for Craig Karmazin and Kyle Wallace today on Sunday Karma. Producer Riley Yauch in our Everlight Solar studio at ESPN Madison with a much better song selection coming back into this segment than he had the previous segment. We are joined by Jason Wilde, the host of Wilde and Tausch weekdays 9 to noon. You catch his work in the Wisconsin State Journal covering the Green Bay Packers. Jason, 8 days to Packers training camp kickoff on Monday, July 22nd, and that means the speculation this week is likely to ramp up about potential Jordan Love contract extension talks. What's the latest you've heard on that front?
Yeah, I agree with your assessment that that's going to most likely be the conversation. Whether it actually leads to a done deal or not, I'm not 100% sure. I think that there's a lot of people that are obviously hoping that it's done, so it's taken care of. By the way, we got to get that guy that sings the song that I had Riley play on the show, Jesse. I know you're not big on booking guests, but he's from Ireland. He's a country singer from Ireland who, in a bunch of his videos, he's wearing a Packers hat. So he's apparently a Packers fan. So I'd like to get him on. Maybe we can even get them to sing that song live. You didn't get to the really good peppy part. But look, at some point, I think we're all confident that this deal will get done. But, you know, I feel like I've been a little bit of a, at least viewed like a Chicken Little, you know, at least acknowledging the possibility that maybe this isn't as simple as we all want it to be, and it won't be done on the timeline that we expect it to be. Now, hey, no one will be more thrilled other than perhaps Jordan and his fiance, Ronica, and her and his parents or his mother that when this deal gets done than me, because I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired about trying to guess what the number's going to be. I'm tired of questioning whether or not he's got enough on his resume to deserve this kind. I'm tired of all of it. You know I've got that fatigue, Jesse. But it is the story. There's no doubt about it. And if the Packers, as I've said many times, want to keep this great vibe that they've got going, if they want to make sure that their quarterback is healthy and happy and taken care of and doesn't have to worry about the dangers of a training camp practice or playing on $11 million. We just heard Davante Adams talk about what it was like to play on that last year of his deal as the 20th highest paid wide receiver in football during that 2021 season. I'm sorry, Jordan Love deserves to be paid more than $11 million this year. And I hope that they're able to reach an accord so he doesn't have to take the same risks that Devontae did during that season.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me, the whole contract deal, simply because I think if you're the Green Bay Packers, the only thing to do is pay that man his money. And it comes with the risk because there's been a track record of 1 year really proving it on the field. And so, of course, there's going to be some risk with giving someone a boatload of cash who hasn't done it more consistently. But I think that they have no choice to do that because quarterbacks are at such a premium. And that guy showed, hey, at least for 1 year, you can have elite at the quarterback position. So I feel like they have to pay him. But you said something there. You said, you know, that this contract negotiation may not be as simple as we all think it is. Why isn't this as simple as we think it should be?
Well, first of all, I'm not answering that question until you do pay that man his money in Teddy KGB's voice, not John Arias's voice. Like, I'm sorry, that's just not allowed. I know you're new here, but if you're going to drop that line from Rounders, you got to deliver it like John Malkovich.
Pay that man his monies.
There you go. That's it.
Well, I didn't ask Jesse to do it. All right. So
I wasn't going to ask Riley to do it. I know that after Friday's show.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. The Rounder? From the movie Rounders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where that line comes from. Yeah, John Malkovich. We're definitely not. Riley's got a long way to go. I worried when we had him on as the producer in your stead, Jesse, that maybe you would get a little tiny bit insecure if he knocked all of his voices out of the park, because that's really kind of your lane that he was steering into. And it became very evident very early that
I'm feeling pretty good. Yep.
Yeah.
Feeling just fine.
Yes. Yeah. His bane was incredible. And by incredible, I mean terrible. So.
Don't you mean my Sean Connery?
Yeah, it was hard to tell. Trebek.
It is just Sean Connery in a cup for future reference.
Do I want to hear these or do I not?
No. Okay. But you can find the full podcast on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. That's where I caught up.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really, really, really something. All right. So I'm sorry, John. What was your question again?
You got to pay that man his money.
Hey!
But why isn't this contract negotiation as simple as we think it should be?
So, we're going to talk a little bit tomorrow on our show about Devontae Adams, not about Devontae himself, although that would be an interesting conversation, but something he said, I think it was with Keyshawn Johnson on his podcast about, you know, the Packers' lowball offer to start negotiations with him. And I do believe that the Packers, as much as they love Jordan Love and believe in him now, I do believe that Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball view it as their responsibility to make sure that they don't overpay, that they protect the organization, that, hey, if we're wrong about this kid and that was just a flash in the pan, or he's good but not like really very, very good or great or Hall of Fame great or MVP great, we better protect ourselves. And so I think they take that responsibility seriously. And so they're not just going to hand them, you know, the big publisher's clearinghouse check. Now, I'm eager. That's another reason why I'm eager for this to get done, is because I really want to know what that number ends up being and how they structure it. You know, we talked about this on our show over the last few weeks. Like, you can say what you want, and you can be a hater on Jared Goff, but Jared Goff has gotten the team to a Super Bowl. He's been part of a team that's gone to an NFC championship game and had a 14-0 lead in that championship game. He's got evidence of his success that's greater than what Jordan Love has. He got $170 million guaranteed. He's 29 years old, I think. Then you go, the next deal that gets done is Trevor Lawrence. $142 million guaranteed. Closer in age, closer in resume to Jordan Love. Still more in terms of having done more and played more than Jordan Love has, but the Jaguars, as much as they love their quarterback, protected themselves, right? They didn't guarantee as much as even Jared Goff got guaranteed. So how are the Packers going to structure the guarantees? Are they going to put kind of funny money in at the end of the contract that allow him to claim, or his agents to claim, that they now have the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? All that stuff is great, But the Packers have some really, really good young players that they're not going to re-sign all of them, but they're going to want to re-sign some of them. And the money that they could potentially save by not lowballing, but respectably saving money on their quarterback's contract can then be poured into those other players' contracts. So, like I said, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what they do. What I'm really curious about, and we can talk about this tomorrow, Jesse, is at what point, let's say it doesn't get done this coming week, and we get to Monday and camp is opening and there's nothing done yet, do they just cave? Do they just say, all right, forget it, just give him what he wants, just so they got it done? Because I think there's a lot of Packers fans that would argue that they'd be fine with that. Unless, of course, Jordan Love then turned out to not be very good and they had a Daniel Jones-type situation. I don't expect that to be the case, but I'm really curious to see if it doesn't happen this week, do the Packers just sort of throw their hands up in the air and say, all right, we're not going to ruin this team's vibe over a couple of million dollars a year. We're going to just get this deal done. I think that is the most interesting potential scenario.
Talking with Jason Wilde, Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. Jesse Nelson, John Audius in for Craig and Kyle this morning at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton. Jason, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff, and one thing that I think gets forgotten sometimes is that both of those guys are former number one overall picks. I think Goff, because of how his career's gone, some people forget that. Does that weigh, you think, at all into the negotiation that when you're comparing what Jordan Love will get paid or is expected to get paid versus those two, factoring in that they were both former number one overall picks, not quarterbacks who went late first round like Jordan Love did, that could impact what that number ultimately looks like?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jesse. I mean, look, I think once you get to a certain point in your career, you are what the film says you are, right? And the difference is those guys, there's just, frankly, more film. Just like there was more film of Justin Herbert, even though he was in the same draft class, the same first round as Jordan Love was. He played sooner. And so I don't know if their number one overall pick pedigree factors in because, you know, I guess the Browns, and you look back on what happened with Baker Mayfield and now how he's kind of found a second life in Tampa Bay. Like, I don't think your draft status means a whole lot at that point. In Jordan Love's case, I will say this. It definitely matters that unlike Jared Goff, who got a second contract from the Rams before he got traded to the Lions, this is his first bite at the big money apple. And you hear me bring it up all the time that this is generational wealth money. This isn't just, hey, those guys make more than us normal people that are on Sunday Karma. You know, it's a very different type of money when you're talking about $150, $175, $200 million guaranteed, even if it's a lot less after taxes. So to me, this is a really big contract for a number of reasons, but one of them is Jordan Love gets to go from I very rarely think about how much stuff costs to I never think about how much stuff costs. And for those of us that always think about how much stuff costs, that's hard to imagine, but I do think that's a bigger factor.
Jordan Love's not going to be selling hangers on Facebook Marketplace anytime soon?
Sold the pool, Jesse. You never got back to me.
Lovely family
in Door County came down to pick it up. I'm excited for them to enjoy the pleasures that come with having a nice, large, above-ground pool in your backyard. I'm sorry. You just sort of – you totally ghosted me. And I had a few people do that over the hangers, but I wasn't expecting that from Jesse Nelson, frankly.
We weren't going to be able to get it anyway. I was trying to struggle to come up with the way to break the news to you that it was too large for our backyard. You live such an exorbitant life up there in Green Bay.
Yeah,
Jason, the pool was too big for our yard.
Let me just tell you, the way to do it would have been, hey, it's not going to work. You can sell it to somebody else. I would not have been heartbroken.
Real easy solution. I guess that would have been a pretty quick text to send, wouldn't it? Sorry, Jason. Before you go, speaking of number one overall picks, John and I were talking before you hopped on with us here. So I had a friend stay over at our house last night. He's a Bears fan, and we got into a great conversation about projected win totals for the year. The Packers at 9.5, according to ESPN Bet. The Bears at 8.5. And Tier 1 Jordan has me convinced that the Bears over bet is actually a better one than the Packers over bet at 9.5. And I factor in some of what you've said about the team may be better, but the schedule is tougher versus what the Bears are looking at, where they're playing a last place schedule, the AFC South. They're not your typical number one overall pick type team, and you're bringing in what many expect to be a generational talent. Would you agree? I don't want to be on this train, but I was convinced that the Bears over 8.5 is actually a better bet if you're participating in such things where it's legal on the ESPN Bet app than the Packers bet of over 9.5.
Yeah, look, I expect both of those to be over, right? Like, I don't know. There's so many other extraneous factors, number one being health. We've seen lots of good football teams devastated by injuries, but you know, I think the Packers are at. I picked them to go 11-6, and if they go less than that, I think it'll be because they experienced some critical injuries. The Bears with Justin Fields at quarterback and Tyson Tyler Trevor whatever his name is Badgent won seven games last year.
Yeah,
they won seven, and they've done some really good things with their roster since. And oh, by the way, they got what is believed to be a generational talent at quarterback. So, again, barring injury, both these teams should be over on that. And it goes back to what I say that ticks everybody off. But I hope it's true. I hope both these teams are battling for the top of the NFC North for years to come. And Love versus Williams is the new but even more frequent version of Manning versus Brady, because I think that's going to be super fun. You've got a Bears fan. Everyone has a Bears fan friend, right? I mean, Tausch and I have Waddle and Sylvie, who are not only our friends, but our teammates at ESPN Chicago. I want so badly for that to be a meaningful, intense, Ditka, star, Nitschke rivalry for the next decade while I'm covering this team. I really hope that turns out to be the case. And next, this coming season would be the first step to that. If both teams hit the over of those projections, both are 500 or better, and both end up being, you know, playoff contenders battling it out for a playoff spot.
Jason, before you go, I'm not very good at booking guests for Wilde and Tausch, but John Audius wants to come on with us tomorrow. Can we book him for 11:15?
Well, I think we should celebrate the fact that John is the first person you've booked for our show in a very long time.
Hey, there we go.
Wow. I happen to be sitting next to him. It helped.
So the convenience factor was obviously key. But, yes, we would love to have him. We did not talk nearly enough Badgers volleyball. And he can tell us what it was like to work with you. And since he's kind of new to our team, I'm a little worried that he won't tell the truth and he'll be very complimentary. Yep. But, yes, it would be great to have him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll block it off on the calendar.
There you go.
Let's go.
And before you go, Jason, John did bring to our attention, happy birthday, Kelly Sheffield.
Happy birthday, Coach.
The leader of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball, celebrating a big one today.
What birthday is it, or is he at a point in his career now where we don't keep track of that sort of thing?
I think we don't keep track of that anymore.
Okay.
But
happy birthday to him and many, many, many more. I look forward to I don't know what – you know, we've got you on our team now, John, so I don't know what role this old Badger volleyball beat writer for the State Journal will have in the coverage at ESPN Wisconsin, but I do know at least one person in our household that is hoping that I get a lot of assignments to drive down to Madison for their games.
That'd be awesome. Come by, jump on the radio.
Yes, that's what you need, is a color analyst still trying to figure out what a libero is.
Maybe we got that handled.
I look forward to our company email about Kelly Sheffield's fun fact about his hidden talent for his birthday, like we had with Riley's voices the other day for Wilde.
How many imitations does he do? Does he do a bad Bane?
Bingo! Jason, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate you as always.
All right, guys. Thanks again for being at the event. That's really great that you're doing it, and I respect the both of you for being part of it. All right, take care. Be good.
See ya.
Thanks so much. Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Tausch, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. The event he's referring to for John Audius and I, Jesse Dulcet, we're at Pleasant View Golf Course in Middleton, west side of Madison, for the Dahman Nation Golf Outing, benefiting the legacy of Bruce Dahman, former principal at Madison Memorial, passed away 10 years ago. His legacy lives on in scholarships, which have now been paid in perpetuity, also supporting projects in the Madison community, Little League equipment, basketball programs, and so much more. If you're in Madison, you know all about Bruce Dahman and the legacy that he has left here in our community. Coming up next, John Audius, the voice of Wisconsin Badgers volleyball, gets his debut.
Oh boy.
In the hot seat for the 7 at 11. Riley Yauch's going to help you out with
okay,
this one.
Okay, this is good. This is good.
We're going to give you a team effort on this one. It's a toughie. If you're a Brewers fan, if you're heading to American Family Field this morning going to catch the final game before the All-Star break, this one's going to be up your alley. Have your phone ready for a chance to win an ESPN Wisconsin t-shirt. Coming up in 2 minutes, it's the 7 at 11 Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin.